It's a privilege to share this morning. A couple of Sundays ago, I had the privilege to share, and I was just touching on life is a puzzle. And those of you who likes to build puzzles, good luck. I don't. It's not my favorite because it tests my patience. And I really thought I was patient till I start building puzzles, till I got kids, till I start driving on Joburg roads. And I realize, oh Lord, I need lots more of your patience. But I was just giving four corners of life's puzzle. Number one being, you are made for God's pleasure. You are made for family. You are made to serve. And you are made for a mission. Just four corners. And even as I just looked at it again, not just preaching it, but really saying, Lord, this is what I'm saying. I want to make sure my life reflects it. I was just reminded again of family and how important it is for me and for you to know that we are saved into this family. God didn't save you and left you out there to be a lone ranger. We are saved and plugged into this amazing family. Friends, that is amazing good news. That's where the scripture, Ephesians 2:19 says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens. That's not those green things with the horns, okay? But you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of this household. We are saved into this family. Like I said, you're not a lone ranger walking out there wondering, thinking about things on your own. You are saved into this family. My wife and I got married in 31st of August 2002. Yes, that was Friday, and I did remember. I bought myself a trophy, and I give it to myself every year. Well done, DJ. No, I'm joking. I don't do that. I give myself a medal, not a trophy. We got married the August, and then the end of that year, my wife finished off her studies. I was 25, she was 21, and we moved to Durban. That was the most amazing thing. I was looking forward to just to go to the beach, just to be there, and we really looked forward to it. Got there, and it was exactly what we thought. It was going to be amazing. The Bible says, leave and cleave. We left everything, and we cleaved big time in Durban. We loved it. Every second of it, every minute of it. We had fun there. But life throws some curveballs at you. And we had some instances, we had some things happening in our lives, some challenges. And I remember sitting there and going through a lot of things in my life, and I phoned Greg. We were at that stage, it was still Eastside. We were part of Eastside before we left to go to Durban. And I phoned Greg. I said, Greg, I really, really need to speak to you. My wife and I need to just come and sit under your counsel. We just need some wisdom. Greg is like, okay, I'm going in for a knee op, so don't come now. A week, 2 weeks time, come. So we arranged that my wife and I had a blue Uno. Guys know Uno. Uno tje gemors gekoop. We had one of those without an aircon in Durban. Yeah, you're laughing, eh? That was serious stuff. Window open, that doesn't work. You have like a bucket of ice the whole time with you. So we came and we sat with Greg and we just said, Greg, this is what we're going through. This is what happened in the ministry. Please. And Greg, in all his wisdom, if anybody has ever come to Greg with something, what is the first thing Greg will tell you? What did God say? So I'm like, Greg, that's not what I want to hear. I want A, B, C, and we're going to get to D this way, and that's how we're going to do it. And you unfold it, and you throw the carpet out, and it's sorted. But Greg, in all his wisdom, always leads back to God. What is God saying to you? After some pizza and some, we chatted, and Greg says, you know what, DJ? If I was in your shoes, I would come back to a family that will love and support you. And it just dropped in my heart and my wife's heart. We drove back to Durban that same night. And the end of 2006, beginning 2007, we came back to this family that started loving and support us. I remember on Mondays they had dancing on the stage. Wayne and myself were playing badminton over here. Tuesdays, I was in one home group. Wednesdays, I was in a different home group. Fridays, I was at youth. Sunday, you're here at church. Because you plug yourself into this family. And you know what, friends? What happened in this family set me free of all my bondages. When I got plugged into this family, healing came. That counseling could not even have done by me just plugging into this family. And a lot of the time we can stand outside and look in and say, yeah, but this guy's and these guys. No, no, no. It's us. This is the family. Friends, that is what church is all about. Church is not a building. It's not an organization. It's this family. And I want to challenge you. I want to beg of you, plug into this family. Why do we want you to get part of a home group? Why do we want you to get involved in things so you can get part of this family? Even the early church in Acts 2 verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Four things. Devoted themselves to the teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Right in the middle of it is fellowship. They had fellowship. They made sure that they got into each other's houses. If you go and look at Acts, they didn't just meet on Sundays. They, every day, they met in houses. They broke bread together. Friends, let's get together. Let's make sure we connect into people's houses. Like I said, invite me for a bra. I'm going to come. I'm there like a bear. Don't you worry about that. A choppy and a Coke Zero, and I'm happy because, you know, I'm watching my figure, so it's Coke Zero. So please, let's make sure we cultivate this culture of family. Friends, it's so important. You know what? There's so many Lone Rangers out there. There's so many people out there that's got so much hurt, that's walking around with so much baggage and so much things in their life. If they can just get to experience what we have in this family, friends, we need to start really say, God, break my heart for the lost out there. Lord, give me a hunger to start sharing with people that needs to be plugged into this amazing family. Talking about this family and what it's all about, there's just one thing I want to touch on this morning, and that is unity. Now, I know you've heard so many things about unity, and when I say I want to talk about unity, I don't want you to think, oh, chatz, am I in a church that there's no big problems? No, not at all. I just want to make sure that this family is well knitted together, that as a unit, as one, we can go out and make a difference in Edenvale, in Joburg, Gauteng, in South Africa. That's what I want. That's my desire. You know what? We've heard so many times that through NCMI, this base churches. Friends, this is a base church. And I know there's going to be a lot of people that God's going to send out of there that's going to plant other churches. I know that for a fact. Because this is a base church. This is a church that the foundation is standing strong. And we will send young men out. We'll send old men out. We'll send people out to go and plant churches all over South Africa and all over the world. We need to get a hunger for that, people. We need to get, say, Lord, where do you want me? Where do you want to use me? What is it? I'm not just here to sit on a seat, keep myself warm and go back home. Challenge me. And that's what we're here for. And that's why if we talk about unity, I want us to make sure we're all standing together as one. I love sport for that fact that it's a team getting together. Okay. Not like the Springboks at the moment. That's debatable. But you know what? It's not one guy scoring a try and everybody looks at him. It's from number 1 to 15 working together to do something. And that's what we need to be. We need to be a well-oiled machine working together. If you look at the dictionary, unity, it's got two things I want to point out. It says it's being in agreement. And the second thing is something whole that's made up of parts. Something whole that's made up of parts. It describes this whole dynamic of our family. Different parts. If you want to go with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, from verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it was with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into the body, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. that definition again. Something whole made up out of many parts. And that scripture is talking, says the foot doesn't say to the hand, well, I don't need you anymore. It says that the whole body doesn't make out of an eye and we don't need the ear anymore. It will be a disjointed looking Frankenstein bride. Isn't it true? We are the bride. But if you are just an eye and an ear and a left foot, it's a Frankenstein bride. That's not what the Bible says the bride is look, what the bride should look like. If a bride walks down the aisle, she looks beautiful. If she turns around, there's only one eye, half an ear, and a left foot, I'm like, oh, God. I'm starting to wonder here. Friends, if the world looks at this bride, what do they see? Unity? Or do they see an ear going this way, a foot saying, I'm doing that? Or is it one thing doing together, a whole made out of different parts? As much as this is the amazing part of all of the different parts coming together, that is sometimes where the problem comes in as well. Because you know what? I only listen when this guy preach. I only sing these songs, and that Vasen guy is. I don't like his songs at all. So I'm not going to sing when he's... Now, I'm not saying that's you, not at all. But that's where disunity will come in. And Paul picks us up in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. He says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no division among you, but that you are united in the same mind and in the same judgment. The church in Ephesus, he writes, Ephesians 4 verse 2 and 3, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Especially the church in Corinth. Paul writes this to them. He picks up through the family and through the household of Chloe that people are saying, I'm following Paul, I'm following Apollos, I'm following Cephas, I'm following Christ. And Paul picks up there's a bit of this unity going on there. Now, he could very easily say, well, let's leave it. Let's see how it fans out. Let's see what happens. No, he addresses it immediately. So it shows to me the eagerness that he says, let's stop this. Friends, how many times have we heard of churches that splits up because of little petty things? We baptize once, we baptize three times. We pray like this, we pray like that. Well, then I'm not going to be with you, I'm going to do it like that. Friends, it happens. That's where a lot of denominations popped up because, oh, you do it like this, we don't agree with you, I'm going to do it like that. Instead of saying, Lord, you are the center of our lives and we're just going to follow you and hear what you are saying and do what you are saying we must do. But Paul writes this to them and I want to read it in the Message translation. He says this, I have a serious concern to bring up with you. Using the authority of Jesus our Master, I'll put it as urgently as I can. In other words, listen to me. Please, open your ears. Look at what I'm going to say to you. He's like putting it out there to them. I urge you, friends. You must get along with each other. You must learn to be considerate of one another, cultivating a life in common. That's what I'm saying. We cultivate this life of family, cultivating a life in common. 4 points I just want to touch on. And it's something we can just put in our own lives and say, Lord, make me part of this family. And let me just do these 4 things. The first thing is unity leads to maturity. Ephesians 4 verse 13 to 15. Until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are growing up in every way into Him who is the head of Christ. Unity leads to maturity. Friends, why do we have a Bible school? Why do we have training on Mondays? Why do we have home groups on Wednesdays? Why do we have youth on Fridays? Why do we have preteens on Sundays? Why do we have a kids' church? Because we want to make sure that this family grows in unity and maturity, and the doctrine that we are receiving will make us speak out of one mouth. One mouth. That every one of us are not little babies anymore just drinking milk, but we become those full-grown adults eating steak and pop. Isn't that where we want to be? We want to be in fullness. We want to grow up. We want to be an adult. We don't want to be a baby. I don't want to be carried anymore. I don't want my nappies to be changed. I want to walk. I want to run. I want to do something. Friends, when we come in unity and we start oiling this machine, we realize, listen here, but maybe I'm lacking this. Friends, I want to urge you. Like I said, Julius can do many things with his time, but he's spending time writing courses to make sure that this body is in unity with our doctrine. Your home group, people can do a lot of other things on a Wednesday, but this family gets together so that we can be mature in our unity. Friends, what's happening here on a Sunday happens with a kids' church because there's unity. What happens here happens on a Friday. I had the privilege to share on Friday. They worship, they bring word, they pray for each other. What happens here happens on a Friday. There's unity. New Day need to stand in unity, and that will help us to grow and mature in our walk with Him. The second one, unity keeps us on the same page. Who's got kids here? Let me just see by hands. Who's got nieces? Who's got little friends walking around? So I'm talking to everybody. I've got two girls, a small one and a big one. One of them, she is a free spirit. She's the loving one. She's caring. She's easy. If I say to her, no, she'll go, okay, thank you. But my other one, that's why I'm not mentioning names. My other one is a challenge. She reminds me too much of me. It's my sins paying back. No, I'm joking. She's a blessing. She challenges me. She stretches me. But you know what? Just a silly example. After breakfast, she'll come. Dad, can I have a slab of chocolate? Oh, well, that's easy. No. But Mommy said I can have. Have you heard that many times when the challenge comes? Yeah, but Daddy said I can. Yeah, but Mommy said I can. Friends, you know what? Unfortunately for her, Mommy and Daddy is on the same page. Mommy and Daddy is in unity. Mommy and Daddy has discussed this before. So when I say no, Mommy says no. When Mommy says no, I say no. Friends, when it comes to this family, we need to be on the same page. And I just want to put this out there because it's something I really felt in my heart. Parents, moms and dads, you need to stand in unity. There's a world out there that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. There's a world out there that wants to kill, steal, and destroy your kids. My wife is counseling at this stage 9 to 10 kids between the age of 9 and 10 years old, girls addicted to pornography. It shatters my heart. It breaks my heart because I've got the same age. But you know what? There's not unity between mom and dad. There's not healthy boundaries in place. So the kids will push, and there's nothing to push against. They will come, and they will see this unity, and they will start looking for things that will fill those little lives up. Friends, mom and dad, if you're in unity, bring safety and security to the kids. New Day, when we stand in unity, it brings security to the young ones walking into this family. When you and I stand as one, it brings safety and security. When new people come in here, they will feel safe. How many times have you heard Greg and that time when Yannis was here? They would tell you, guys, don't walk in here and think you just come and touch our girls. We'll sort you out. Why? Because they're in unity on the same page. You're not just going to come in here and take our girls. We'll sort you out. We come here for the right things. We come here to serve God. We come here to focus on Him. Friends, let's make sure that New Day are on the same page. Unity, number three, flows from love, and love unites us on our mission. Colossians 3:14. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in unity. Without love, there isn't unity. Friends, let's just ask God to fill us up with His love. That love will unite us. And that love will make that we will go out on mission, changing lives all over. John 13:35. By this all, people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Friends, people are looking at you and me. But when they see the love, they realize that you and I are His disciples. By the love that you and I share for each other, the love that we've got for each other, that unconditional love. Not love because this and that, unconditional love. And then the last one, unity keeps Christ at the center instead of us. Ephesians 1:10, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. It's not about me. It's not about how I think. It's not about my way of thinking of what do I want to do, my plans. It's all about Him. It's all about Christ. Unity brings us back to it's not about us, but it's about Him. I want to end with this. Who of you have ever heard or seen a Belgian draft horse? A Belgian draft horse. Okay. This is not this horse standing in front of you. It's a different horse. Look at that picture. That's the Arnold Schwarzenegger of horses. Right there. If I want to come back as a horse, I want to look like that Oki up there. No one's going to mess with me. They use these horses to pull heavy things and move heavy objects. It's said that one horse can pull 800 pounds. 8,000 pounds, sorry. When they put two of them together, how many would you say they can pull? 16. In fact, they pull 20,000, the two of them together. But when these horses are trained next to each other in unity, they pull 32,000 pounds. Unity. Friends, I want to challenge every single one of us. The person next to you, the person behind you, the person in front of you, let's hook into each other. Let's unite. Let's say there's a world out there that needs to hear more about my Christ. And this family is going to take that message out there. And we're going to show them what it's about. Not just talk it. We'll walk it. We'll show it through our unity. David writes in Psalm 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity.